on with it. Say hi to...
Hi, Doug. What's up?
How much snow do you have, Doug?
What's that?
How much snow do you have?
We had a dusting. You know, dusting. 2 days ago, we had like maybe... when we had that... they had to cancel the game for the Buffalo. Probably about a foot.
They didn't cancel it?
Yeah. At all.
Well, they moved it.
They did. They moved it. Yeah, they push it. But they got bombed. I mean, they're about an hour from me, an hour and a half from me.
Right.
But there are
all
certain pockets in Buffalo that really get dumped on with that. And Lake Effect, we got a lake right here too, Lake, you know, Ontario. So.
Yep. Oh, I'm familiar. I mean, like, it all depends on how the wind's blowing. Right now, it's like, it's just blowing off Erie and hitting southern Buffalo perfectly.
Dude, that watching the fans come together, go to the stadium and do all the digging, it's pretty rad. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys have some pretty serious fan base.
Last year when they had the same dumping, the fans actually went to Josh Allen's place to make sure that he could get to the stadium and help shovel out his place, man.
They went to every player's. Yeah, they.
That's weird. Fans, like,
you are gonna play today. No snow day for you.
I mean, it wasn't like they drove there. I think it was the neighbors came over and helped me shovel.
Oh, okay. That's quite a bit different than how you.
It's like somebody taking you to. You're gonna take a shower now. Let me get my dog. Hold on. Let me get the dogs out of here before they come down and shit here. Let's go upstairs.
Everybody upstairs.
Yep.
All right. Let's get into it. Listeners, welcome to Forging the Path. You get the poo-poo cleaned up?
Oh, yeah. Man, big dogs, big shit.
I don't envy you on that. I miss having a dog, and I'd clean up shit all day long if Bruce were back. But I don't miss that.
Are you guys gonna get another dog?
Dude, I'm at the point. You know, now that we're not filming, we're not gonna be filming for a while. I think I might just show up with a dog. But we got a baby coming, and those take up a little bit of time.
Yeah, but you gotta get the dog associated with the baby quick when there's still a baby. You know, that's the reason.
So we should get a puppy when we get the baby. Or when the baby shows up.
Same exact day.
Well, I mean, getting a dog, my concern would be getting a dog right now because Nash is at the age where a dog would be great. And then 6 months from now, when the dog is already 6 months old, almost full grown.
Yes.
That's a problem because the dog.
He's still like in a training phase. So you could still train with it.
You think?
You don't want to do like a puppy when it's a baby.
I'd be concerned about the dog getting protective of Nash, Meg, and me. And then the baby show up and it be like an outsider.
I think that's more of a fear with a dog that's older, not a dog that's 6 months old.
Right.
It goes through in the family. You're just bringing someone who just loves us. Dogs just love you unconditionally, man.
I don't know. I've been bit before.
Yeah? Yeah, wrong dog.
Yeah, one of my dogs. I bit it back. Dan, I'm going to need to schedule
dinner,
a call
it still
with
serves you
and my wife. Have you call Meg and explain to her why I need a puppy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm sure that will work.
Mm-hmm. So imagine that. So get them started again. Think of all the love that you're bringing into the house. That's even more, you know, with dogs and just pets altogether. They change your demeanor. It changes mine when I come in and I'm in a bad mood. When I'm always now, kids, family, and everything, their demeanor may not change you, but animals always forgiving this second. Like I said, you know, if you want to know who really loves you, put your dog and your wife in the trunk. 2 hours later, open up. Who's happy to see you? Who
in the trunk?
Right. Little disclosure for the listeners. We do not advise putting anybody in your trunk or any animal.
Ah, but who's a good boy? Who's always forgiving? Who forgets right away?
And how long you been married?
26 years.
And how
never
often
put it to the
desk,
though. We just happen to know that for a fact.
She's still in the trunk. She's still not complaining.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, everybody, welcome to Forging the Path.
You're right.
I can already tell it's going to be a lighthearted day. Our guest today is somebody who's got quite a different story than a lot of our guests in the past. We've got people who have gone through the ups and downs in business, in life. Today's guest is somebody who went through probably the most challenging thing you possibly could, mm-hmm. came through it, and is now climbing his way as an artist. Today we're going to be talking to Cody Aljetz, and we'll be talking to him right after this break.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners, we got Cody Alljets joining us today. Cody, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks appreciate for being, you being here, Cody. And I'm Doug All Knives. You got Grady All Host and Dan All Producer. Because he's all Jets. Come Cody, on, where, wake up,
Cody,
Grady.
Where are you from, Cody?
Originally Southern Illinois, not too far from St. Louis there. Now I've been in Gunnison, Colorado, or Gunnison Valley, for about 12 years. I have a wife and a 8-year-old or almost 8-year-old son.
Nice. Cubs or Cards?
I was always Cards, but I'll be honest, you know, I worked a lot as a kid and family. Not a big, sports fan. You know, I like to play the sports. I love to do the sports. I don't really sit on the couch and watch much TV, so I don't follow a lot of it.
Me too. So we obviously know who you are, but we like to give our guests an opportunity to kind of explain or describe themselves. So for our listeners, what is it exactly that you do, or what would you call yourself?
I like to call myself a metal artist. I'm shooting for high detail, a lot of sheet metal art and reclaimed art. You know, I'm really trying to push a level of detail to go against cast pieces. There's a big problem in foundries now, and a problem with the level of detail and just being able to get cast out. And I'm trying to compete in that level and just, you know, really put it out there. You know, I'm not getting a lot of commissions, so I'm doing everything I can to keep pushing. And my long-term goal is to push into like public art and like large scale stuff.
Mm-hmm. So describe like the kind of what your sculptures look like. What do you, what's your style?
I do a lot of raw steel. You know, I have, a little bit of health background, and, I'm trying not to do a lot of forging. There's a lot of off-gassing and stuff like that. So I'm actually softening the metal and just hand hammering and doing a lot of stuff, re-softening and cold. So it's a lot of raw finish. You know, there's Jen Phillips. She's a real well-known artist. You know, something similar to her. People would know her more than myself. You know, I've done a lot of skulls. I'm doing, you know, really drawn to animals and birds, and I'm not really sure what drew me to all that. It's just kind of where I've gone and kind of the niche that I've grown in, and I'm using every piece to try to get farther. And like right now I'm working on a Native American kind of homage piece, and I'm making a bunch of feathers and making a bunch of details, and these are all for ideas that I have in a bigger realm that I'm trying to, you know, just use every piece to grow.
You know, I'm looking at some of your works of art here, and you were right. When you talk about attention to detail, there's a lot of detail in this stuff.
Yeah, beautiful listeners work. Listeners should go over to CodyAlljetsArt.com and check this stuff out. The first thing that pops up is that longhorn. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
How long did that piece take you?
That one, I think I had about 170 hours in it. You know, and some of these take longer. You know, the more I'm doing them, the faster I'm getting if I'm repeating anything. But, you know, these are all one-off processes that I've never done and never really been technically taught, just a lot of different background to kind of get me where I'm at now. And I'm willing to fail a lot to get what I want. Mm-hmm.
So did you are you classically trained in sculpture at all, or do you kind of just pick it up?
I went to art school for a short period, you know, at that time when I was young, and went to SIUE over in Edwardsville, across the way from you, and, you know, was paying for my own school at the time, and, you know, at that time I thought, well, how the heck am I going to make any money doing this, and went to work for my family. My family owned mechanic shop and body shop over there, so that, you know, worked with my hands from a really young age.
So was that your first job out of school or whatever, was kind of working in like a mechanics type world, or what were you doing?
I kind of did everything, to be honest. I was a real hungry young guy that just, you know, wanted a car and wanted to be able to go have a good time. And I always liked to do trips. So I did some ski tour companies for a lot of years that took college tours. And eventually that took me to California. I did sales. You know, I chased money for a while. You know, I did have a, you know, pretty close to six-figure job at mid-20s and was able to, you know, build a house when I was young and all that, and quickly learned that, you know, I wasn't a guy that wanted to chase money and more chased a quality of life. And through doing my trips and everything, I always wanted to be back in Colorado. So I definitely chased some jobs to try to get out this way. And finally, in 2012, we just bit the bullet and moved out here.
Wow. So I'm looking at your website here, and this really hit home, because in the end, you could have your passions, you could chase whatever, but the word you have there, sculpting a better life, you have a story to tell, which to me puts everything in perspective. Tell us about that, because that's something that I want the audience here to listen to this. If you don't get to read his stuff, it hit home, because no matter what you are into, if you don't have that life and that perspective, it just puts everything else, you know, the priorities change.
Yeah, I think perspective is everything. Up until 2021, I was a full-time firefighter EMT, once again, kind of jumping in different realms. And in April of 2020, midst of COVID, about 2 weeks before my 40th birthday, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer.
Holy cow.
And, you know, that's a scary thing. You know, we're dealing with COVID and, you know, didn't know. That's a super scary thing. Long story short, my chemo did real bad, had a lot of different things that went around and changed my path, went on a homeopathic route, changed how I live, changed how I eat, changed my diet, changed my mental health, and have now been cancer free for a little over 3 years, 3.5 years. I'd have to do the math. So, you know, I still change everything. You know, I used to walk around at about 230 pounds and right now I'm about 175. So, you know, I could still do better. You know, over holidays, I definitely eat. I definitely enjoy cocktails. I can't drink beer, but, you know, so on and so on. But, you know, Doug, I think what happened, there were certain policies during that time that I didn't accept, and I had to choose to keep my job or walk away. I had lost over 80 pounds with my chemo, and at that time didn't feel it was worth it. So I walked away, and I had just been in a fire officer 1 class a couple weeks prior to that and was writing notes, and one of my notes said I wanted to make the raddest art I can, and if I can build a couple cars or hot rods here and there, that'd be really awesome. So I did it. I changed it.
That's amazing.
Started my LLC, Sage Country Customs, and I'm a little over 2 years in. You know, I'm a lot different than most of your guests. I'm still in the beginning stages.
So would you say it was mostly the policy that pushed you to it, or was it in part because, I mean, you were potentially at the end of your life. You know, stage 4 colorectal is fucking serious. I've heard stories of people who, when they're on the edge of a life or death situation, that's when they, in their mind, they're like, I need to just go do what I love because this life is short.
No, you're exactly right. There's no guarantees. And, you know, even though I'm cancer free, you know, it's still in your mind every day. You know, somebody, you know, it's always brought up. You hear different people. I get a lot of calls from people because I am open about it. And, you know, I'm open to information. But, you know, this was kind of my retirement plan. And I've always done some sort of sculpting. I made cakes, all sorts of stuff, just to keep that creative flow going. And, yeah, I just sat with my wife and my son and said, hey, you know, are you guys willing to give me a shot? We had a tiny house and some property in Pagosa Springs, about 3 hours south of us. We sold it, and that's kind of been my, you know, that's my bank account. That's my chance to make this happen. And my wife has always been ultra supportive of me, and my family's super supportive. And I can't say I'm making a living wage. And that's what, you know, your podcast really hit home with me, listening to everybody over and over. You know, and, you know, I'm really trying to push the business side, and that's why I reached out. I'm trying to put myself out there instead of just hiding in my job or in my shop creating.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you are like in a different stage than a lot of our guests. You're kind of like at that beginning of your new path stage. So how does it feel to be in this stage? Like, what's going through your head right now? Are you nervous? Is it, you know, how are you feeling?
Well, talking to you guys, I'm extremely grateful. You know, I'm a guy that puts myself out there in a lot of situations, and I've always been told you can, you know, you can only be told no. So I've accepted a lot of no's or just a lot of lack of response, to be honest. And mm-hmm. I'm driven. I'm not going to fail at this. I feel like I'm putting quality product out there. I did, you know, something Jordan Sprigg said, I, you know, did fail on some pricing, advice, I'll say. And I put myself out there a little too high, and I've had to kind of eat crow and kind of start over, because I had people, you know, I did have people that wanted smaller items straight away and just not getting, you know, as much as I want. But, you know, I'm going to do like a run of flowers or roses for Valentine's Day, you know, $69, get the mood ready, you know.
You know what I love about this is, thank you for saying that, because to our listeners out here, I am a student of our show. The guests we've had all have taught me so much about how to move your business, what's required. It's not just about passion. You could have passion, but be a starving artist. At the same time, you can also give so much of yourself, but you got to give to what's buying out there. So all this, and you got to know how to market yourself. You got to know business. You got to know how to use social media. So, you know, having said that, I mean, thank you for giving, you know, saying that you do listen to watch our show, because that to me is exciting about it. But now we have something over here where you come in, and it's not just about the passion. It's how you're moving through life. Because in the end, it can be all great, but that can be taken away just like that, or you have to redirect your things.
I think that, you know, I get to be around for my son. I run him to school. I missed her mom a lot, that kind of stuff. And that was things I was missing before, and I just wasn't as present. With my family, I try to do it different. And, you know, even last night, knowing I was going to miss some time in the shop today, I, you know, put my boy to bed at 8:30 and went back to my shop till, you know, midnight or something, just to make up that time.
So in this stage, you know, like Dan said, we talk to a lot of people who are already at the top of the game after having taken the risk to forge their own path. You're still kind of finding that path, right? It's crazy to me that you're having a problem with your pricing, because your work is stunning. Absolutely stunning. But where you're at right now, looking back at your life before taking the leap, do you wish you would have done it earlier? Or do you feel like you made this leap at the right time?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm 43 right now, starting over in a different, you know, career. You know, it sucks to have to get that awakening. I would definitely tell anybody to take the chance or get your stuff started, start that LLC. All that stuff's real easy. You know, you're already on social media. It's definitely a learning curve and a full-time job on that. I wouldn't give it up for the world. You know, I definitely enjoy the heck out of this. I don't have a day that I regret going to the garage. Most of my friends know that I'm probably in there till 2-4 in the morning sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I gotta go to sleep, I gotta take my boy to school in 3 hours, you know. But I just get on such a roll, and I just love it.
And also, it's also that you can share your perspective of, you know, there's no such thing as I gotta redirect everything all the time in a bad way. It's redirecting to what's important to you now. You know, what's important to us before, till, you know, your mortality shows up, you're like, oh, that's not as important as I want. If I may share it with you, we were just talking with Dan and Grady. We have a break from filming, and I'm trying to fill up my whole year with all these seminars. I'm currently taking care of my father-in-law, who's had cancer, 2 bouts of cancer. He's 87, and there's mild dementia happening in all this. And while I was filling up everything else, my wife goes, and you're not going to be here. How about this? How about consider that break? Focus on one or two things that are still important to you, but don't forget those who stood by you while you were able to work. And that's spending time with family. And I'm thinking that, you know, you're able to do all this because it puts you there. You take your son home with you. You're at home doing what you want. What really matters now is the people around you and not just chasing the money.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely stressful. I need to make more money. You know, just my wife does decent, so that helps a lot. But, you know, we don't make enough to survive. And I definitely saw a dip in that, you know, a backup account, I guess, this past year, but that's okay. You know, I'm just going to keep pushing ahead here. And, you know, I know it's going to happen. You know, everybody here, it takes time, right? And I'm only a little over two years in here, and I'm just going to keep putting out some of the coolest stuff I can make and keep going bigger and bigger.
So when you talk about putting your stuff out, like how are you trying to get exposure and have more eyes on your art?
I'm definitely trying to push a little more on the social media. I've got like weld.com guys. They're pretty big and they're kind of an educational portal. So I reached out to them and said, hey, you know, do you guys want to team up? I'll teach you some art tips and tricks, and you come teach me some welding tips that I need to do some of these projects that I don't want to touch yet. You know, just because I know they won't come out to the detail that I want them. And they're coming in March, nice. You know, so they're going to come for a week and they're not just going to film me. I'm going to fill their week with time. And, you know, so I'm trying to do that, trying to build my website, learning like SEO. I've taken some classes on SEO and how to do that. I hired an art coach because I did sales and I, you know, sold a ton of sandpaper when I was younger, and you know, which is a tough sale, right?
Yeah,
man, I gotta give you props on that bird you did, the one that you just posted or you have on your Instagram about what you called Dawn Patrol. That thing is
sweet. Oh yeah,
I love that. So what? Describe your process with that. Like, how do you start when you're trying to build something like that? Do you have a vision in mind, or you just get into it?
That was totally one of those things. I'm that guy that goes to estate sales and antique shops and hunts, you know, for the objects that jump out at me. And that one was totally a bucket of those masonry nails, and I dumped them out. It was $5 on the bucket. And I dumped them out on the floor and like kind of tossed them into wing shapes. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a wing. And the lady, I said, I'll take this. And she was like, oh, that buck is $10. That was mismarked, because she saw how excited I was. And I told her I didn't care. You know, I just did it. So, you know, that one was just some of that. I had the vision. It originally was going to be like an opened up wing. And it didn't come together the way I wanted it to in my process. So I went to that on the Dawn Patrol, and I have a lot of hawks here, and I get up early and go dirt biking and stuff. So I see them on their fence posts hunting, and I wanted to, you know, make that image. So I, you know, stack them on my table 100 different ways until I like it. And then I kind of tack them together with my welder. And if you look at that one, you know, it's over 1,000 nails, and every little nail has a grinding mark in a particular direction for the fletching, and just go with it. And like I said, if I don't like it, I cut it back apart, and welding's cool, 'cause you can cover stuff back up and start.
I mean, I love that process. 'Cause like I do that. So I do some woodworking, and a lot of times what I love to do with woodworking is I take scraps and cutoffs and shit like that, and I try to figure out what I can turn it into. So like, I love that element of just like dumping something on the ground and trying to envision what it could be. So what do you say? What do you think you get out of being in the workshop? Like what is, I assume it's pretty therapeutic for you as well.
For sure. You know, there is a lot of repercussions of going through something like I went through. You know, I can't say it's all, you know, roses and rainbows or whatever you want to say, but, it, you know, I enjoy doing things that fully engulf me in the moment. You know, I do a lot of snowboarding and dirt biking, and a lot of people look at that as extreme, but I don't really look at those. It's kind of the same as in my shop. I'm just in the moment. I'm creating. Some of my best moments are like 2 a.m. I'm doing like a silly high five to myself, you know, jamming to some music and dancing, stuff that I would never do in front of anybody or let anybody see probably, but I just really enjoy it. And you know, when you can celebrate something that you weren't quite sure if you could do, and you just push yourself and you finally get there, you know, it's awesome.
That's if I could make a suggestion, film that. Put it out. That's the stuff you need to put out there, because that's what makes people like fall in love with you, become not just somebody who scrolls past you, but they'll be invested in your success.
And people have actually said it on our podcast too. Yeah. They love to see the process of it being created because there's a story to your whole, you know, your creation right there. And they want to be, it's almost like you made them part of that creation.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I try to do that on my social media. I'm getting better. And, but you know, where I fail, I need to get a different camera. And this is where I got to just invest because, we don't have but one, two music stations here on the radio. And I sure don't like giving up my music on my phone to film something.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's funny.
They make this thing called a radio.
Radio. Or a cassette player. A DVD player. Oh,
well, he's saying he only has a few stations, so he can't listen to the radio.
There's only two radio stations here, and one plays like NPR, and it's random, and the other one is kind of like KC95 yeah. all the time. You know, it's just like
classic. It's probably not the best backing for your videos. Do 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 do.
Yeah, NPR.
Love me some NPR.
So, Cody, can you just tell the listeners what your social media handles are and your website and stuff like that, so they can find your work?
Yeah, it's all Cody Aljets Art, and it's CodieAljets Art. And I'm on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and same, my .com is the same.
And do you have any like kind of shows coming up or anything that you're going to be traveling to show off your work or anything like that?
I just did one down in Parker, Colorado. I don't have one coming up anytime soon. I'm going to apply for a few that are coming up. I'm definitely going to do the local Crested Butte Art Festival if they'll have me this year. I'm building a booth, and that's some of the stuff that I jumped into this year to kind of create my business. You got to have a booth ready. You have to have stock ready. You know, so I've kind of quit pushing some of the stuff so I can build a little bit of supply to get out there and have those opportunities.
So I don't know too much about the fine art world, but I do find myself in places where there are like galleries. Would you be able to go to like, I don't know, say Breckenridge, go to one of those very expensive art galleries and just show them, say, one of your skulls and be like, hey, would you guys put this on for me?
I definitely do that. I mean, like I'm going on a trip to California with my family here this next week, and I just walk into places with, you know, this skull in my hand or something in my hand and try that. What's different is a lot of those take like 50-60%. So it's really hard to take that hit, especially as an unknown guy in a higher, you know, and trying to get into a little bit higher realm or more detailed realm. You know, you got to be a little more strategic and find shows that will let you in or not take a huge chunk of that.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's some value to that as like a marketing investment. Instead of going and putting money, say, into Facebook or Instagram ads, you put time and sweat equity into building pieces that you're willing to sell at a cheaper price just to get your name at those galleries.
Yep, that's something me and my coach just talked about, like getting a bunch of things in similar to Cast Realm, you know, for about $1,000 or less. And that'll be, you know, a big bump under what those are and just get my stuff out there a little more. And, you know, I think somebody said it on one of your podcasts, you know, you kind of got to give some stuff away. And I've donated a bunch of things at some high-end auctions and had some great success and haven't really got any business out of there, but I'll continue to do those. They're great cancer organizations that helped me. And it's still, you know, just different platforms like that I got to get out there and just keep pushing. You know, like I said, I got to get out of the shop and be willing to upgrade my computer, I guess, here. And,
yeah. Definitely use technology to your advantage. It's what the other guys have done, you know, film everything because it saves you money. You know, you can see, everybody can see it from any part of the world. And once again, if you start to record what you're doing and talk about it, they become part of it. One of the things I would love to see are your works of art based on your journey. Sculpting through life. What are you going to do when you create something? You go, this is why I put my feeling into it, and talk about that, because so many people out there who are going through cancer treatments, people who've survived it, those who haven't, but they want to know, what do you go through and how do you express this in your art? That alone to me is so meaningful when you look at art pieces that come out that way.
For a second there, I thought you were going to tell them to sculpt a colon.
I've thought about it.
All right.
No, I agree with you, Doug, and that's where I say I've kind of failed on putting myself out there a little bit. You know, my Longhorn, it's called Twist of Fate, and I did it because of what I, you know, the whole name is because I want to put it out there, and you know, this is what I'm doing, and I'd never done anything like that. And I donated a smaller bull skull prior to that to this cancer organization called Strong Like Bull. And it was totally because I, in my mind, in my treatments, I had this little Russian lady or somebody with a real strong accent, like in the back of her, just said, "You strong like bull, you get through this, you get up," you know, because there was literally days that I told my wife, I, you know, please don't let me fall asleep. I don't know if I'm going to wake up. You know, it was that Jesus, bad.
Yeah. Is that part of like your motivating factor to get in the shop every day is because you can, right? Like you have that ability to get up and go.
100%. I mean, I joke with my wife, you know, cause there's no way in hell she would let me quit my job or not have a full-time job and make art in the garage. Or, you know, I kind of tell friends, I'm like, I feel like I'm messing around in the garage for my job. And, if I hadn't gone through cancer, you know, if we hadn't got that perspective, there's no way I'd be doing this. I'd still be doing it. I would just be doing it on a different level.
Right.
And it wouldn't be full time. And, you know, there's times we talk about, you know, should I go get another job? But, you know, why, you know, it's not guaranteed. And if I'm taking the time away from this, it's not time going into my business. So I've got all the, you know, a full hand on myself here and the support of my family to make it happen.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
I just love the story, man. It's very, very much different than, well, not different. It's a completely different part of the timeline than anybody else we've talked to. And I personally appreciate you reaching out and giving us the opportunity to talk to you because, you know, everybody else, they're speaking from a point of success. And I don't think there's any world where you don't succeed at this, but you're still on the road.
Yeah, well, I appreciate
I
that.
I think the fact that you're still able to do this is success in its own, and you're sharing that with us. The fact that you redirected it, you adapted, improvised, overcome, and here you are. That is a success story. Thank you.
I mean, I gained something from everybody we talked to, and I think I'm probably going to gain most from this conversation because, you know, like Doug said, we learned something from everybody we talked to. I personally started a business with one of our previous guests, and you know, I come from a TV world background. That's my main gig. But there is a time when that's going to end, and I've had goals to start my own business and do something, and it's hard to take that leap. And I still question that decision on a daily basis as I'm going through the process. But hearing from you, like, you would have done it. You wish you would have had the opportunity to do it before. Why not now?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't wait. I'd tell any listener, don't wait. I mean, you know, even I think when I was listening to April Wilkerson is when I finally emailed Dan, and you know, she said something to the nature of like, "Oh, did you shit your pants today?" You know?
Exactly. thinking that as soon as you said that, yep, there's a quote.
I kind of laugh about that because, like, me and a few of the guys I know that have had my surgeries, you have to become to like, "I'm here to shit my pants today." And man, that wasn't that bad.
You know, but also, like, from what I'm learning from this, also, it's you know, I can chase and always, and I'm the kind of guy, these guys know, they're always telling me, "Shut up, Doug, you're too much." But I'm always chasing new business ideas. I'm always trying to be creative. Let's do ideas. Have we gone to do it? And now I'm at the stage where, no, focus on a few things that are truly important to you. And whatever it is that you're chasing, make sure that is connected to your core. And my core is my family. Make sure that whatever I'm chasing doesn't pull me away from the one I'm trying to provide and spend time with. Because in the end, they always say this, right? What man in his deathbed will always say, "I should have put more time in the office." So think about what you're going to chase, but also connect it to who it is that you're chasing it for.
Yeah, I mean, being a firefighter EMT, you know, and being on scene when people are passing, they're not looking for their phone or their money. They're looking for their family. Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality of it, right? In the end, that's the reality. And I had to sit, you know, I went through all my surgeries and everything in COVID, and my family wasn't allowed to go in. Yeah. I was in the hospital. You know, my son wasn't allowed to come in, any of that. You know, there's a real eye opener of what's important in your life, you know, once you go through something like that.
Now, before you made the decision to go into your garage and pursue the art, was there a conversation with your wife and your son about like different paths you could take? Were you just set on getting out of the corporate world or getting out of the firefighting world? And were there other options, or was it just I'm going to go become an artist?
No, there was options. I mean, honestly, when I made the move, I didn't even have drywall in my garage, and that was like 2 years ago. But it was there's a lot of unknowns then. I had a less than even though I was cancer free, I had less than 10% chance to live 5 years, and every year that gets better. You know, it gets a higher percentage, and I'm just not a person that looks at that as you know, how it is. And we just decided to take the chance. You know, there was such a perspective shift, and sometimes we still need a reminder, or, you know, you get caught in the hustle and bustle of life and you forget stuff, but, it's easy to get caught up in that, but take the time and, you know, enjoy your family and enjoy what you want to do and follow your passion. You know, like I said, I'd hate for somebody to have to go through what I went through to have to be like, oh, I'm going to make art.
Don't wait.
You know, it's money. I mean, like I said, I definitely struggle right now, but I just keep reminding myself, I just got to keep pushing. I'm putting out quality stuff and it's going to happen. You know, I got to work the business side, which is what your podcast reminds me of over and over.
Yeah.
Cody, it was awesome for you to join us. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
I thank you guys so much. And once again, I apologize for the delay and you still taking the time.
Oh, that's not awesome. At all. Thank you for your sharing your story.
No, but sounds like we're taking time away from you out of the shop. So
yeah,
it means a lot for you to come out.
I pick up the boy today from school and do all that too. So I got about an hour and a half or 2 hours and go do that Mr. Mom stuff.
All right. That's awesome. Awesome.
Well, we appreciate you coming out, man. Wish you the best of luck.
I appreciate y'all. Thanks again so much.
All right, Cody. Thank you. Take care.
Take it easy.
Take care.
Holy smokes. Okay, so Dan, I'm sure you told us. I didn't know off the bat like that he was looking at his art. I thought he was looking at his art, I thought he was well established. Those skulls he's got out there, especially that longhorn, that is unbelievable art.
The detail
and for him to talk like he's just getting started.
He's only been doing it for 2 years. I'm sure the first year is like a lot of trial and error.
But you know what? How about that we have a viewer who actually learned a lot from and paid attention to a lot of what our previous guests have been saying and is putting it into use to help him out. That's nice to hear from him.
No, I love that. What I take from that one is like he's the perfect example. Don't wait till you're on death's doorstep to do what you need to do or what you want to do. Go follow your goals, get off the path, and go make your own.
And it's never too late to start the process of doing the business side of it, doing the social side of it, the social media side of it, learning how to sell what it is that you're passionate about, how to forge that. People are saying, well, I missed the boat on that. No, you start today. It's all on the internet for free. Find the sources to help you do it, and you can do it.
Yep.
This is empowering to me today, guys, because finally, I always thought I was the only student of our podcast. No, there are other people out there who are also learning the same things that our guests have been very...
I think we all are. I am too.
I absolutely am. Well, that was a great conversation. I was inspired by it.
Yes.
Listeners, I hope you were as well. We will catch you on the next Forging Path podcast.
Hallelujah.
Ciao.